Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of Lorwen is Alper Yeğen, the newly appointed CEO of the LoRa Alliance and a longtime leader in the world of wireless networking. Alper brings a rare combination of technical depth and strategic clarity, having worked on everything from 5G and M2M at Samsung to serving as CTO of Actility and now guiding the LoRa Alliance into its second decade. For over 25 years, Alper has helped shape the protocols and standards that underpin the Internet of Things, but it's his work with LoRaWAN that's most relevant today. As chair of the LoRa Alliance Technical Committee since 2016 and now CEO, he's been instrumental in building not just the technology, but the global ecosystem behind it. In this conversation, Alper and I get into the real strategic levers for companies working with LoRaWAN, how awareness and education are bigger obstacles than technical limitations, how certification can become a competitive advantage, and how collaboration, even with competitors, accelerates the entire ecosystem. We also dig into the vision of LoRaWAN as a utility, seamlessly integrating public, private, and satellite networks into a global fabric of coverage. If your business is building an IoT, this is a playbook for where the future is headed. Let's dig in. Alper, thanks so much for coming on the show. I know you're super busy. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you, Nick. It's my pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to have you here because you have this strategic view of what's happening in LoRaWAN. For a lot of the folks that come on here, they're really into the technical side or the direct sales side, and those are valuable pieces. But you've got this kind of 30,000-foot view. Let's start off with what the biggest threats to LoRa and LoRaWAN might be. Is it going to be NB-IoT? Is it awareness? Is it congestion? Is it a technical thing? Like, what are the biggest threats that you see for LoRa?
Sure. Yeah. So LoRa Alliance has been around for 10 years. Now we're celebrating our first decade. And within this 10 years, we have created a technology that is leading the LPWAN space. So the low power wide area networking. There has been several other technologies before we started, and few others have joined the party since LoRaWAN came along. And throughout these years, LoRaWAN has emerged as the leading LPWAN technology. And right now, I wouldn't say any one of the other technologies is a threat for LoRaWAN. We have a very mature technology, and our members of the LoRa Alliance and also the LoRaWAN ecosystem, they have very solid, mature products. And we're able to say that because right now we have more than 100 million LoRaWAN devices already in the field, and our members with the largest networks, some of them see 50% CAGR, year-over-year growth on their device count. So clearly, there's a really good product market fit. Right now, I wouldn't call it a threat or a risk, but what really slows us down is the awareness and education. So in this first decade, we've been heads down focusing on building the technology and building products and services with our members, and marketing has not been our priority. Now we realize the reality on the ground is ahead of the perception. So there are a whole lot more LoRaWAN deployments and use cases and success stories out there than what meets the eye. And it is this awareness that now we're focusing on, so the perception catches up with the reality. And also education, getting to know how LoRaWAN works, is really key, because without the proper education, people can get it wrong in terms of like building their products or deploying LoRaWAN as a service, and then eventually they may end up concluding, oh, LoRaWAN doesn't work. But most of the time, it's not the technology. It's the way they've been using it has been a problem. And one could see this as a threat because everyone, you know, has finite patience, finite resources, finite time if they end up spending too much time on other technologies and concluding IoT doesn't work, or if they spend time on LoRaWAN without the proper background and cannot get it working for whatever reason. Then it can become like, oh, okay, this is not working. I'm not going to use this. And that sets them back for like a couple of years at least until they keep hearing about it and come back to it. So I would say that's the biggest risk or the challenge now we're tackling.
Got it. And I guess the obvious follow-on question is, how are you guys tackling that piece? What are the plans that you have? What are the things you're executing on against making sure that folks are more aware of how to use it and using it correctly?
Yeah, for awareness, actually, we're taking several measures, one of which is turning our organization from, I wouldn't say introvert, but like becoming more extrovert. Now, like the event strategy, we have widened and deepened our event strategy. We used to have our own member events in a hotel in some city in some place. Now, instead of that, now we're moving towards embedding our LoRa Alliance event inside bigger trade shows. For example, the first one is in 2 weeks in Barcelona, the IoT Solutions World Congress. We know this event is already attracting people who are interested in IoT, and we're going to have our own pavilion there. 19 of our members would be exhibiting numerous demos and their products. And then we also have a one full day conference track embedded inside that larger IoT event. And that's just one of the events. And we are planning to do two or three of those, spanning all three regions. The next one we have will be at the CES in 2026 January, which would be catering to North America and beyond, given the weight of CES. So all the traffic CES will be attracting, we're going to get our own share of traffic towards our event. And in between, we are going to other events, like LoRa Alliance has been to Utility Week in India. We will be attending an event in Shanghai in June and Shenzhen in August. So a whole lot more events we'll be going to as LoRa Alliance and members. And we're also supporting our member events through promotion and also encouraging our members to be presenting and to be present there. And I myself, I'm traveling almost once a month to every different corner of the world, attending events and evangelizing this technology. So that's the event front. And then we are also increasing our engagement with other organizations, alliances like the LMS, OMS, large ecosystems. Like we had our board members present at the Niagara Forum a month ago. That's accelerating the adoption of LoRaWAN in the smart buildings. And also participating at the ITU events in panels and conferences. So we have numerous initiatives on the event side and also liaisons. We are adding new liaisons and revitalizing the old ones, the past ones, to increase our engagement with the other IT ecosystems to integrate LoRaWAN into the existing ecosystems to bootstrap them.
Right. And that integration piece is something I may ask you about in a second. Let's see. So for LoRa Alliance, folks join that, they become a member. How would they use that certification to gain some kind of advantage, right? It can't be something they just pay for and then forget about. How do they pay for the thing and then leverage the heck out of it to grow their business?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we have several benefits, one of which is certification. We provide a certification service for our LoRa Alliance members for the devices they build. They can, upon joining LoRa Alliance, they can get it certified by LoRa Alliance, which provides validation for their device's compliance and quality with respect to the LoRaWAN specification. In several parts of the world, that is a mandate, RFPs going out. Nowadays, they are including LoRa Alliance certification. And what we have been doing on that front is to make it easier for the LoRa Alliance members to get their devices certified. On one front, we have revised our pricing structure. For getting a device certified first time, there's a fee. And then if the member is certifying a similar device, we have a certification by similarity program, which has much less overhead. And also certifying a device for multiple regions, it doesn't come at the multiple cost, but we have tiered pricing for that as well. And on top of that, we have a tool called LCTT, a LoRaWAN certification test tool we provide to our members. And our members can test their devices on their own. And until recently, they still had to take their device to an authorized test house. Now we provide them another option that they can run the tests on their own and they can submit the results to the LoRa Alliance and get the certification. So there's a self-testing option being made available. So now getting a certification is more streamlined and comes at a lower cost than before. For that, we do encourage our members to get their devices certified and also the device makers who are not part of LoRa Alliance to join and get their certifications as well.
Got it. So the certification gives you the ability to compete in a couple markets because it's the bar you have to have a certification to come in, and then you've made the certification easier. Okay, I think I can understand that. Let's see, you've talked about a future where LoRaWAN behaves like a utility, where it's everywhere, it's ubiquitous, it's seamless, it kind of works. For businesses building today in this IoT world and in this LPWAN world and choosing LoRaWAN, what are the steps they can take to prepare for that time when it is ubiquitous, when it's everywhere, or accelerate that future?
Right. So the utility angle is the following. So, you know, LoRaWAN with the long range nature of it and also being low cost and using unlicensed band is naturally great candidate technology to become ubiquitously available. We already have several countries with nationwide networks provided by operators, and they're already community networks spanning practically almost any country with significant coverage. And we also have the satellite-based networks. We have three of them already, like Lacuna and Plan S and EchoStar Mobile, providing significant coverage from space as well. Now, so that's one side of the story. The other side is how these networks are collaborating with each other. So, and that's where there's a major distinction between the Wi-Fi story and the LoRaWAN story. Wi-Fi has been around, and even today where I'm standing, I bet there are like at least 10, if not 20 Wi-Fi networks that I can get signals from, but I can only use one, and it is the one that I own, right? So even though physically they are here, logically they don't exist, as far as I'm concerned. Now, we're changing that. So obviously, with the coverage-wise, LoRaWAN has superiority to Wi-Fi, but in terms of like making the networks integrate, LoRaWAN, both technology-wise and also the LoRaWAN ecosystem-wise, is a whole lot more collaborative. Today, again, thanks to the low-cost nature of this technology, we see public, private, and community networks being deployed all around the world. And LoRaWAN is the only wireless data communication technology that can have this much variety at scale. None of the cellular network types, not the Zigbee, Z-Wave, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, etc., have this type of variety, type of networks being deployed at scale. LoRaWAN has that. On top of that, we have a very easy way to integrate these networks through what we call roaming, a traditional name, but it's more like a network collaboration. Today, we're able to integrate public, private, and community networks, both on the ground and also in space, in all random combinations. There are public networks roaming with public networks, private ones roaming with community, community roaming with public, and even nationwide networks on the ground roaming with satellite networks. So this is how we are on our way to build a ubiquitous network, which will be available all around the world. Multiple layers of the network will be available, provided by hundreds of providers behind them, including, say, you as a resident of your house, and then your neighbors, and then the muni and the city, nationwide network, maybe multiple of them. There's going to be a utility network, so on and so forth. They will all coexist physically. But the way we're integrating them, they will all act as one, such that you'll be able to go and buy an end device and then bring it wherever you want to operate it, home or business or in the field, and then turn it on. It'll connect. It'll auto-connect to the network, which is provided by multiple providers behind the scene, but they'll all be integrated in a way that you'll end up paying one bill. And maybe it's a bill that you have paid upfront when you bought the device for the first, you know, 10 years, right?
Sure.
So that's the vision we have. And it's going to be utility-like, you know, just like wherever you go and you plug in your electrical equipment and it just works, right? You'll just turn on the device, it'll just connect to the IoT, Internet of Things, right? To the internet. Now, coming back to your question, sorry for a long answer, just to provide the background, what should the device makers or solution makers or operators do? Well, the plug and play is a very important feature, and we have several standard pieces for that, and we're constantly adding more. Having a plug-and-play device and solution and a network that supports plug-and-play is key. And secondly, collaborating with other networks, integrating your network, whether it's your home network, business network, or a public network, integrating with other networks directly or indirectly, say through roaming hubs. That's already happening. And you know, that's what I would recommend anyone to join the LoRaWAN ecosystem, to be open to do that and be part of this grand vision we have for the future.
Got it. So really thinking on the hardware side and I guess firmware, software, is this thing will be part of an integrated global net at some point. Let's make sure we prepare for that to make that as easy as possible, because it's fairly obvious that this kind of network effects will happen, is that the first folks that make that really easy will benefit the most from that. Okay, cool. That makes a ton of sense.
Nick, there, like, you know, even though I talked about like one network, this is not the only mode of operation. While There would be one network that any device can join. There would still be numerous private networks operated virtually in the same space, right? You could, you know, have a slice of your network that's only serving your devices where you can share some part of that with that one network vision. So we'll still have like public, private, and community networks, and then have this one unified ubiquitous network operating as an overlay as well.
Yeah, it's a super cool idea. I like the this make no small plans. This is a big plan. I like it. Let's see. You see a ton of different businesses. Where do you currently see the most commercial traction for LoRaWAN globally? And why do you think that is?
Yeah. So among the verticals, we have the most momentum, I would say, metering, especially water metering and gas metering. And then smart buildings and smart industry, the automation in factories. And smart construction and also smart mining. And also campus-wide tracking. So these are the ones leading the pack. And among them, the one that has the highest momentum right now is smart buildings. Majority of the smart buildings today are using wired communication technologies, and wireless is a small part of that. But within that small but growing segment, LoRaWAN has already emerged as the leading wireless communication technology. And the reason behind that is inside a building or inside a facility, what do you need? You need communication technology that can pierce through the walls, right? That's a check for LoRaWAN. You want to put sensors that can operate using batteries for a long time that you wouldn't have to recharge them. It's a check for LoRaWAN. You want something that doesn't require you to own one of the few limited licenses. That's a check for LoRaWAN. And you need something that is very low cost for building the radio network. That's a big time check for LoRaWAN as well. And so leaving any other technology like Zigbee, Z-Wave, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, cellular behind, LoRaWAN has taken the pole position in that market. And we see several solid examples of that. For example, one of the board members of LoRa Alliance is Verizon Wireless. They have deployed facility management in Atlanta at the State Farm NBA Arena. That's where Atlanta Hawks is playing. And they have covered the whole venue using LoRaWAN for facility management. And they are not the only tier one operator in US doing so. The other one is AT&T. Their Connected Spaces service, which they have launched 4 months ago, is exclusively based on LoRaWAN. And obviously, Machine Q, a subsidiary of Comcast, another board member of LoRa Alliance, have been deploying LoRaWAN for the longest time. They have deployed LoRaWAN in more than 10,000 Starbucks stores across North America for cold chain monitoring. Again, it's an indoor case. They need a solution to work wirelessly inside fridges, cabinets, behind the walls and all that. And LoRaWAN came to their rescue, and they've been fully exercising that technology. And the backnet industry has been rapidly adopting LoRaWAN as well. And one other example is world's largest pest control company, Rentokil Initial. They are precisely 100 years old, multi-billion dollar company. They wanted to connect their units, their sensors, and they looked around. And the kind of places the pests love to hang around, it's really difficult to bring network there. Only LoRaWAN is able to pull it off. So they have discovered that. They joined the LoRa Alliance, and now they're working on LoRaWAN version of their products. So yes, in the smart building arena, we've got the leading position. And this will not only stay that way, but also accelerate the adoption of wireless in the smart buildings industry.
Yeah. I remember talking to Manojit Tarek, and he was saying, I hadn't even thought of this. He said, we deal with businesses, and mostly focused in the Middle East, all the time where they're expanding. And it makes it so easy if you're using LoRaWAN. If you're expanding into the next unit, you knock out a wall. You don't need to rerun new wires. You just add a sensor in the new place. It was just such a cool idea that because the range is so long, you don't need to worry about running new wires or putting in a new gateway or whatever. It'll just cover it.
Yeah, and regarding running wires, I'll tell you the most expensive type of wires one would need is at the oil and gas industry. The wires that would stand the sheer amount of like fire in case of any disaster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where LoRaWAN is also proving to be a game changer. Today, companies like Total Energies, Shell and Chevron, they have been deploying LoRaWAN. Europe's largest oil refinery, the one in Rotterdam operated by Shell, has been deploying LoRaWAN solutions provided by our member TWTG, involving like temperature sensors, valve sensors, and vibration sensors. So yeah, I mean, cutting the cord and especially the expensive ones, we're really good at that.
Yeah, I was just reading about the TWTG thing. That sounds super cool. I'd love to get those guys on. Let's see. You guys are under your leadership, it seems that you're really focusing on expanding Liaison's integrations, making sure there's much more collaboration. How can individual businesses, so whether it's, you know, Scott Andrews at Sensibility or it's Manoj or it's Sponsi or it's Miroslav at Heliotics, any of the folks that have been on here, how can they think strategically about this collaboration, even maybe with competitors, to accelerate the whole ecosystem and their growth? What are ways you recommend to do that?
Yeah, so as LoRa Alliance, actually, we are making a great case of how collaboration can help the industry solve large problems. I mean, IoT is a difficult problem. A lot of things have to come together and work end-to-end seamlessly. If any one of these chains is broken, the whole system just fails, right?
Yep.
This is very well understood by the IoT ecosystem and more so by the LoRa Alliance members and the LoRaWAN ecosystem members. And that's why when someone joins LoRa Alliance, one of the things they notice is how collaborative we are. It's like one company with the power of 350 plus companies, all their R&D coming together, working on the same problem together. And I mean, I've been involved in the standardization for over a quarter century. I worked in Internet Engineering Task Force, 3GPP, PP2, WiMAX Forum, Etsy, etc. And I can easily say that none of them had the amount of collaborative spirit we have here, because at the end, it's all about making the pie bigger.
Yeah.
Now, any effort that goes into collaboration would have an amplified return on the investment. And this is definitely not the time for these companies to put energy into competing. It is to be put into cooperation, and like nearly 100% of their energy within the LoRa Alliance are going into this collaboration, and it has been paying off for every one of them. That's why they stay in the Alliance. They keep putting effort into it.
Sure.
They've been seeing the return on that investment.
And can you give me an example of that where two of the members who might otherwise have been thought of as competitors decided to collaborate and they got something really good out of that?
Honestly, like, you know, just pick any member of the LoRa Alliance and then I can name like 10 to 15 of their competitors sitting like in the same meeting room, on the same Zoom call, at the board level, anything and everything. But honestly, you know, none of them, when they see each other, none of them think in those terms, okay? They all look at, you know, this is what we need to do at the board level, at the technical committee, at the certification committee, at the marketing committee. So they don't see each other as like, oh, this is my competitor. They see like, okay, this is what we need to crack. And here we are, we're a team and let's go after that. And yeah, we're full of that, right? I mean, really, there's no single company that doesn't have competitor in the Alliance.
Yeah, that's super cool. Well, let's finish up with this one, is that you've tackled a bunch of misconceptions about security. I know I've seen some talk about it. What can companies do tactically to build trust in their solutions for their customers who are concerned about reliability, security, longevity? You know, your customer comes to you and says like, hey, does this LoRaWAN thing like really work? Is it secure? What are things that companies can do to address that?
Yeah, usually the lack of trust in LoRaWAN security is stemming from lack of knowledge. So, I mean, we do hear things like, oh, LoRaWAN is using an unlicensed band, so it cannot be secured. Well, we're using a wireless communication technology here. Whether you're using a licensed band or unlicensed band has zero relevance, right? The adversaries are not going to say, oh, these guys are using a licensed band, so I cannot touch it. There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
The data is in the air, right? Anyone can grab it. Anyone can, you know, play with it.
Yep.
Now, what we do, just like any other modern-day wireless telecommunication technologies, we use cryptography, right? You know, if you were to go back, say, 20 years ago, it wasn't well understood. That's why, for example, Wi-Fi had glitches, like WEP had some glitches. But in the past, I would say at least 10, if not 15 years, the industry has already understood what kind of bells and whistles any wireless telecommunication technology needs to have a proper level of security, like endpoint authentication, data origin authentication, integrity protection, replay protection, encryption, using a strong and well-established crypto suite like AES-128, right? This is state of art. So whether you're using, say, 5G, 4G, or Wi-Fi, or LoRaWAN, to have a proper level of security. And then the other thing we get, oh, you don't have a SIM card. How can that be secure, right? Well, SIM card is a piece of hardware that secures the cryptographic keys and the cryptographic procedures. Well, we have the equivalent of that, which is called a secure element. So any end device that requires a high-end security, we tell them use a secure element. It's not called SIM card, which is very specific to 3GPP, but what's under the hood of a SIM card is a secure element. So the same is available to LoRaWAN deployments, but we do not force every one of these deployments to use a secure element. For example, if you're deploying a temperature sensor, you don't need to have a secure element because you know what you're, the data you're collecting is not really as valuable and is not subject to the same kind of threats. Again, I'm assuming you're not sensing the temperature of a nuclear plant, okay? Let's, you know, I'm talking about an office building. So as such, we give the option to the device makers not to use secure elements, and then, you know, that's their choice and their customer's choice. But for those who need the high-end security, yes, they can have the equivalent of a SIM card, which is using a secure element. So, yeah, I mean, anyone who understands security can easily look at our standards and then understand that we have all the right bells and whistles with the right amount of strength and security. And the proof is the deployments. I mean, I'll give you examples like metering industry. For metering industry, the meters are really the cash registers, okay? If they get tampered, they cannot make money. So for that, they have every reason to make sure the technology they're using provides secure communication. And that's what LoRaWAN does. That's why, for example, our member like Veolia, they have deployed 5 million LoRaWAN water meters in France, all connected, live, streaming water and data right now. And I mean, they are confidently relying on LoRaWAN, and they're not alone. I mean, another water metering win is by Netmore in UK, Yorkshire Water, 1.3 million project, which is starting. Again, you know, the utilities, when they make such investments, they go through a huge due diligence. I mean, if the wireless technology won't stand, say, won't have the right capacity, won't have the reliability, or would have any security issues, they wouldn't be making this investment. These investments for like millions of meters, and when they are deployed, they stay in the field for 10 to 13, 15 years. It's a super long-term investment. And yeah, these are all, you know, verified and confirmed. Hence, people can confidently use LoRaWAN in their most demanding applications for its reliability, security, and scalability.
Ripping. Right on. Alper, thanks so much for making the time. I know you're super busy. Really appreciate you coming by and talking to us about the state of LoRaWAN and some of the big kind of strategic thinking that's going on. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Nick. Very nice to meet you, and thank you for giving me this opportunity.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you, the one person in about 100,000 who actually has an interest in how this tiny little slice of the world works. Of course, this isn't just about you and me, it's about everyone in LoRaWAN and how we can work together to make an exceptional thing. LoRaWAN is a dispersed community with little pockets of knowledge all around the world, and most of them don't talk to each other as much as I'd like, so the first and best thing we can do to make this show better is to get more guests on who I don't even know exist. I want to talk to strangers. Strangers who are your friends. Please introduce me to the most rad LoRaWANer you know, or point them my way, or help reach out and give me a name. When it comes to running down LoRaWAN guests, I can track a falcon on a cloudy day. If you can remember metsci.show, you can find me. That's metsci.show. metsci.show. Okay, so sharing knowledge by getting great guests on is the first and by far the most important thing we can do to make this better. The next best thing for the show to do is the usual stuff. Subscribe to the show, give it a review, share it in your corner of the world. Again, that's metsci.show. Finally, if you want to support the show financially, you can do that over at support.metsci.show. You'll see options there for one-time donations if you really like this show, as well as an ongoing subscription option if you think this show is worth supporting for the long term. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, sign up for a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 data credits for free. That's enough to run a sensor for about a year if you're firing every hour. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.